T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Some of the best high school basketball in the state is played right here in Southeast Wisconsin. It's time to hear from some of the best high school basketball coaches in the area. This is the Wendy's Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by your local Pick and Save stores. Now with former Marquette High and Concordia University coach David Cooks, here's 105.7 FM The Fan's high school insider, Big Time Mike McGivern.
Welcome back to the Wendy's Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coach Show, presented by our local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM The Fan. It's one of my favorite segments, brought to you by Broughton Stratton Athletics, and is our Coach's Corner. And I got a chance to spend a little time with the head coach at Cardinal Stritch. Came over to our practice the other night, and I've known him for a while. He's one of the good ones. Hey, Mike, how you doing? It's good to spend a little time with you on my show.
Good morning, Mike, and congratulations on a terrific win the other day. I really enjoyed watching that.
Man, I appreciate that. I know you showed up at one of our practices and said, look, I was at the St. Catharines practice. This is going to be a tough battle. Both teams are really talented, and it definitely was. That's a really good basketball team. Hey, Coach, how many years have you been at Cardinal Stritch?
We just finished our fourth season.
How'd your year go this year?
Well, we thought this was going to be our best team, but we got riddled with injuries. We still had a pretty good year. We finished 16-13, and really legitimately had a chance to win the conference tournament, but we got whittled down to 7 guys at the end of the year. I mean, we had everything from an ACL to a stress fracture to a broken foot. And, I'm proud of our guys. We weathered the storm, and we were more than competitive down the stretch. But certainly you always, at the beginning of the year, you always have high expectations. And as a coach, you're never quite satisfied.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Coach, it's difficult at the NAIA level to recruit kids from this from Wisconsin. It seems at Southeast Wisconsin. And looking at your roster, you've got a couple of Wisconsin kids, but I know that you're making an attempt to try to keep more kids home and to play at Cardinal Stritch and give kids an opportunity to play at the next level. Can you talk a little bit about the difficulties that you guys face recruiting this area?
You know, Mike, I think the biggest difficulty is perception. And, I think John Fofo on the women's side has the same issue. I mean, he's taken his team to 18 straight NAIA tournaments, and still he struggled to get the local kids. And, sometimes for them it's just a little bit sexier to say, I'm going to Waldorf in Iowa or William Penn than Cardinal Stritch right across the street. So that's kind of the battle we fight. I just looked at our list this morning, and 73% of the guys that are on our list are from Wisconsin. And we're going to make a valiant effort, as we do every year, to see if we can't pull a few out. In fact, we'll have 5 coaches out at the sectional games today.
Coach, you kind of talked a little bit about what I was going to ask you. Is I think a lot of people in our state don't necessarily understand what NAIA is all about. I mean, everyone knows Wisconsin Marquette, and everyone's been pretty familiar, especially the basketball community, of the old WSUC and now the WEAC. How would you, if you could promote or explain what NAIA is and what it's about, what would you tell people in the basketball community that, the NAIA provides and their strengths that they need to know about?
Well, basically, I think what we have here in the state is we've got a state that has been transformed. Virtually everybody was in the NAIA 20, 25 years ago. And then institutions made a decision to change course. And every institution has a choice. They can be in the NAIA or they can be in the NCAA. We've only got two left here in the state of Wisconsin in the NAIA, and that would be Viterbo and Cardinal Stritch. Everybody else has opted to go to NCAA Division III, and I think part of the reason for that was financial. They did not want to expend money on scholarships. So now what we've got left here in Wisconsin is just seven schools that would offer basketball scholarship money per se, and that would be your four Division I's, the lone NCAA Division II, Wisconsin Parkside, and then Viterbo and Cardinal Stritch. So
who do you find yourself – oh, sorry, go ahead, Coach.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Who, when it comes down to recruiting, and I was telling Mike earlier, I mean, we you know, you see you all over the Milwaukee area getting out to watch high school games, and then when it comes down to trying to convince kids, talk to kids and their families, who do you find yourself battling to be able to get kids when, like you just said, you're one of the few schools that can offer a scholarship to financially help kids out? You know, what obstacles do you see, or what schools do you find yourself battling? Is it other NAI schools coming in from other states, you know, D2s or even some of the D3s here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's actually a little bit of both. Oftentimes it's the Minnesota D2s. Recently it's been more of the NAIs coming in from Iowa and Southern Illinois and sometimes even Missouri. And then, you know, every once in a while you'll get a little bit of a battle with a WEAC school. So it pretty much runs the gamut. And you know, when you talk about advantages and disadvantages, I mean, every kid is looking at different things. Different things are important to every kid. There's a lot of kids that just want to get away and break away from the Milwaukee area in particular, and that's understandable. So for us, our job is to love them, recruit them. If they go away and it doesn't work, hopefully we'll get them on the bounce back.
We're talking with Mike Jaskowski. He's the head basketball coach, head men's basketball coach at Cardinal Stritch University. Hey, Coach, can you give us, and normally in this segment I'll ask a coach to give us one or two staple drills, either on offensive, defensive, rebounding drill, a drill that you guys do every day because you think it's so important?
Yeah, Mike, I think for us, I mean, we are clearly founded in our defense. I mean, that's our identity. And, you know, as a coach, I think it's always important that everybody be as creative as they can in addressing issues that they see. So for us, you know, I'm a guy that's going to make sure that each and every day we're going to do some form of our defensive shell drill. And I think we do things a little bit different maybe than some folks. I get out to plenty of practices and see people, and you know, the classic four-man shell with the two guards and the two forwards. We're going to do some different things out of that, whereby we're going to move people in the shell. We're going to exchange on the backside every time that we make a guard-to-guard pass. We may have a situation where we're going to drive gaps. And then we're going to change the formation. You know, we're going to put a guy in a high post. We're going to put five on the perimeter, and we're just going to change that shell up a little bit every day. It's not rocket science, but what it is a constant repetition where we're building our habits.
Yeah, I think that's important, and it's interesting because I think, you know, sometimes as coaches, and Ty, you might agree, we have a tendency to, you know, in the beginning of the year, hey, we're going to try to shell every day. We're going to shell every day. We're going to do this. And then there are times that you get away from it, and it shows up on the floor because you haven't taken the time to do that drill every day. There's a couple of drills that Coach Wallerstein believes in that we do every day. One is a defensive shell, one's a dribble shoot kind of drill. And it's interesting, if you don't do this every day, kids start creating bad habits on their own.
It's also hard to find the time every day too. You know, the season becomes long and into January, into February, whether it's college or high school. And there's not enough hours in the day to be able to get to everything that you want to do, keep your kids fresh, and then if you have daily staples, you know, with drills that you're doing, to get those in also and still be able to walk away from practice knowing that your kids aren't tapped or burnt out with, you know, having a game this day and then the next day and, you know, more practice time. So you try to keep things short, but yet you're trying to find time to get everything in. It's hard.
Hey, Coach. Hey, Mike. What do you guys?
I was going to say it's a little bit like batting practice in baseball. You know, you got to have it, even if it's for a short period of time.
Good point.
It's a great point. Hey, if somebody asks you offensively, are you guys are you a coach that likes to get the ball down the floor? Are you more a half court coach? What kind of offense do you like running?
Well, I think I've learned over time, and you know, the college game is different from the high school game. In fact, I was at a game the other day, and I'm a proponent of the shot clock. I watched a high school game that was a 12-point game with 3 minutes left, and at that point in time, the game basically ended because one team held the ball, the other team couldn't get it back, and it ended up a free throw contest. So I'm a firm believer that in college, we've got a situation where with the shot clock, you got to be able to play at multiple speeds. Because one night, you know, you may come out and play a team that plays all 2-3 zone like a Syracuse, and you're going to have a certain level of patience to attack that. You're going to play right into their hands if you're going to quick shoot it. The next night, you may play a team like a Cincinnati who's going to trap you all over the floor, and the game's going to get sped up. So, you know, we've got an emphasis on preparing our team to play at all different paces, all different speeds. It's pretty hard to dictate pace of the game today. Unless maybe you're a Virginia. They do a whale of a job at it, and it's not easy, and not many people do that, and that's because it's not easy. So for us, you know, typically we're going to pull it out in net. We're going to push it up the floor. We're going to see what we can get. If we can get a quick three in transition, that's what we're going to do because we think that's a good high percentage shot that we have a good chance to rebound. If not, then we're going to work to get the best possible shot we can for the best shooters that we have. So, and then defensively, we're primarily a man-to-man team. We're primarily a half-court team. We will play some matchup zone. But we're going to change that defense a little bit every game dependent upon our level of quickness with regard to our opponents. And, you know, today our league is really interesting and it's the beauty of our game. There are successful teams up and down the board throughout the 14 teams that play this game all different ways. Some of them are locked in the half court in the zone. Others are up and pressing. And so even offensively, you still have teams that are running five-man motion, four-man motion. And then you're going to get a lot of teams that all you're going to see are ball screen offenses. So, you know, I think that's the beauty of our game. And as a coach, our job is to prepare our guys to beat the best and to prepare our guys to play against whatever is thrown up against us.
He is Mike Jaskowski is the head men's basketball coach at Cardinals Church University. Last question, Coach. You and I have been doing this a long time. And I had a guy in another show that I do called Faith in the Zone, and I asked him, he was a younger Division I football coach. And I said, hey, kids changed over the years a little bit, don't you think? And he said, no, I don't. I said, really? He said, look, I was 28 years old when I was the first-year head football coach, NCAA Division I, youngest coach there. And he said, I was single and I was cool and I was about 4 years removed from playing. And he said, now I'm 44, I'm married, I've got 3 kids. All I want to do is get out of practice, go home and see my kids. They haven't changed. I've changed. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I don't necessarily think the kids have changed as much as their environment has changed. And when I say environment, I not only mean their home environment, but school environment, and then the environment that they're a part of with their cell phones. I mean, that's a whole new world, Mike, that you and I never had to deal with.
Yeah, you bet.
And so I think for us that have been in this for a while, we have to find a way to stay in tune with that to a certain extent. And then we have to also educate our young people and our players about how to handle that responsibility of those phones. Because it can be a terrific asset or it can be a terrific detriment. But, you know, I think the kids that we get that want to compete athletically are basically the same, but they've been affected by their environments. And it's something that we've always got to be conscious and aware of.
Well, that's a good point. Coach, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. It was good to see you the other day in person. Thanks for coming over to one of our practices. And if there's anything you need from us, please let me know.
Well, good luck today. I know there are going to be some great games here around the state.
Yeah, no doubt. I appreciate that. Mike Jaskowski, again, the head men's basketball coach at Cardinal Stritch. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, our pick and save, student athlete of the week. We're going to call him and introduce him to you. This is the Wendy's Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by our local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
So who is this week's Student Athlete of the Week? Who's making a difference in their community, in their classroom, and on the court? Let's meet the Pick and Save High School Student Athlete of the Week, brought to you by your local Pick and Save stores, where Wisconsin saves on groceries.
Welcome back to the Wendy's Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, presented by local Pick and Save stores. My favorite segment, man. I love highlighting kids that do good work in the classroom and in their community. And our Pick and Save Student Athlete of the Week is a Milwaukee South Division kid. Jerome Mabry is a senior over there. Ty, he's a good kid, huh?
Extremely nice kid. Older brother was extremely nice kid.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, Jerome's joining us via cell phone. Jerome, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, and you?
I'm doing good. Thanks a lot for joining us, and congratulations being our Pick and Save Student Athlete of the Week. Can I ask you first question, your motivation for being such a good student athlete, where does that come from?
It comes from seeing my family struggle. I want to be the one to put an end to that struggle. I want to be the one to get my family up out of the urban community. Also, being a good student athlete satisfies me. That satisfaction also motivates me.
Man. Well, you know, Ty,
he won't be the first one. His older brothers, they're very similar. I'll talk about them later.
Yeah. But. Do you know, when I started doing with Pick and Save, the Student Athlete of the Week, I came up with that staple question, and I thought, well, I'll use that for 4 or 5 weeks and then come up with something else and then change it. And I can't get off that question for years because every answer is different. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's, hey, my parents, my mom's a teacher, or my brothers and sisters. But then after, it just then changes after that. But here's why I really take care of this. And the kids that win this award, they understand that it's a privilege to play basketball or play football. It's not a right. Jerome doesn't have the right to come to you and say, well, I have the right to play on your basketball team. He understands it's a privilege that he has to earn to be able to play on your team.
He's worked at it, you know, and he's grown, he's matured, and I'm not shy to say this in front of him. I told it to him, you know, in the past, that when he was a freshman, I thought he has no chance of ever playing varsity basketball. Yes, you know, there was a maturity level. He was kind of goofball, not bad in any means. And then even into sophomore year, stuck around the JV, and even thought, I don't think he's good enough that – he might not make varsity, and to his credit, he put a lot of time into making himself a better player. And by junior year, was starting, and this year led us in scoring. And he will be playing college basketball next year. And I remember watching him in open gyms when he was a freshman and sophomore, texting his older brother, who was also a pretty good player for us playing college basketball, saying, "What's wrong with your brother? Like he doesn't know how to run. He doesn't get it." And to Jerome's credit, he matured. He figured some things out, and has done very well for himself.
Boy, coming from Ty Mosler, Jerome, you got to feel pretty good about that. What turned the corner for you on the basketball court?
Just seeing my brother in college, like that's my role model. I looked to him, asked him a few questions, and he told me what to do, and I did it.
Man. You got to feel good about that. Where are you going to school next year? Do you know yet?
No, I don't know yet, but I'm planning to go to a Division II or III college.
Ty, basketball wise, is he?
It'll be a Division III, and Hamline is one university that is in the picture for him, and I think that would be an excellent opportunity for him. Jerome, what is it that you want to study again? What do you want to major in?
I want to major in exercise science.
And does Hamline have that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's researched it out. He knows what he's talking about. He's done the work, and it would be a good fit, I think, both for him academically, socially, seeing some new things, getting away from the city, and being able to have the opportunity to work to get playing time. Probably not right away as a freshman, but maybe down the line as he puts the time in.
What position does he play, Ty?
What would you call your position there, Jerome?
Small forward.
Yeah, he's a wing.
Yeah? Yeah. Can he shoot a little bit?
Sometimes. Does it go in very often, Jerome?
Sometimes.
Shoot it because sometimes it goes in.
Got to get in the gym, maybe get more consistent with that. Hey, Jerome, here's what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. I'm gonna reach out to your coach, and I'm going to get your cell number, and we're going to meet at a Pick and Save close to your house. I've got a beautiful plaque that your local Pick and Save store is going to give to you. We'll meet with you and your family, and I'll ask your coach to show up. We'll get some pictures. It'll go up on our website. It'll go up on Pick and Save Facebook page, and we'll celebrate the fact that you are our Pick and Save Student Athlete of the Week.
Thank you.
Man, I really appreciate it.
Have a good day, Jerome. You guys are done with Jerome here?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So have a good day, Jerome. Go do some push-ups. But wanted to add this about, like, Jerome and his older brother, Malcolm, who graduated 4 years ago for us, and will be graduating with a degree from McKendree University and has played college basketball now at the Division II level, that without anyone helping them, like, and again, I'm not saying anything to embarrass Jerome or Malcolm, but, you know, their dad died when they were younger,
okay.
So they didn't have a dad in the picture. Mom had some issues that she had to deal with where she wasn't in the picture.
Right.
They've moved around a lot, living with different brothers and sisters that have looked out for them to the best of their ability. And everything that these two are accomplishing, both academically and basketball-wise, is 100% because of them. They haven't had anybody holding their hand or pushing them or telling them, other than themselves, that this is what needs to be done. And they're both different. Where Malcolm came in, they both grew late. They both filled out late physically. Malcolm got behind. He was always capable of doing the work academically, but didn't take it serious. And then junior year, kind of the light went on. Like, I got to get my act together. I can't be, you know, the goof in class. I can't be the one that doesn't turn my work in. And he had to really work to get a 2.0 to get a scholarship to Sauk Valley in Illinois. And then he worked his tail off to get a scholarship to McKendree, a D2. And he did with no fanfare. He averaged a double-double as a junior and the Division II level. And, you know, he wasn't ranked anywhere. Mark Miller didn't know who he was.
Right.
So this kid made himself into a good player and is going to have a degree with a year to play at graduate school. Jerome did it a little bit differently, where he took his grades serious, is a 3.5, and saw what his older brother did. And I think some of that had motivated him.
You bet.
And now he's going to have the opportunity to go on to college and play. And both of them accomplished it without having much at home. They did it on their own.
Ty, how is a coach, I've been through this as well, but, you know, these are the kids that when you get home at night that you think about and you have so much, like, respect for, and I'm sure that we try harder to help these guys because they want to do something.
They need the help. Sometimes they don't know how to ask. I've had this discussion with my wife. You know, she coached at Arrowhead for all those years.
You bet.
And I never said it to, like, offend her or upset her, but in our, you know, we talk sports and coaching, that her kids at Arrowhead, a lot of times they didn't need her. They didn't need her. They had everything they needed at home.
Right.
Where they were going to go to school, get fed, have clothes, knew where they were sleeping that night. We're going to go to college, whether sports were involved or not. They had that taken care of. My wife didn't have any of those worries. And for us, it's different. We have to help our kids see that possibility, that opportunity, and sometimes make decisions for them. You know, I joke all the time, like, some of these kids can make really bad decisions, not because they want to make the bad decision. They don't know any better.
They don't know any better.
And they need someone to make the decision for them. Like, no, you have to go fill this out, or no, this is what class you need to take, or go do this. and they need that point of view or that information from a coach because there isn't anyone telling them that or pointing them in the right direction. Where, you know, the Arrowhead kid and a lot of kids, they do have that direction from home. Jerome and Malcolm didn't have that.
Well, Jerome Mabry, he is our Pick and Save Student Athlete of the Week, and I will be just proud to meet him at the local Pick and Save store closest to his house. I got a call from Andy Capes or an email that, and I feel horrible. There's a couple of our latest Pick and Save Student Athlete of the Weeks that I haven't gotten their plaque to them because this time in basketball, this time of the year is tough. So as soon as basketball season's over, I will make sure that I get those plaques, and Jerome is certainly one of those guys that I will get. You're really proud of him.
Both him and Malcolm, like I said, just because of, you know, kids accomplish these things all the time. You know, hey, kids go on to college and play sports and get a degree and go have a good job. And the kids that we see a lot of times, it isn't just a matter of fact that that's going to happen. There's a lot of obstacles for them to overcome, and they have done it.
Coach, I can tell you real quick, I was coaching at a grade school in the suburbs of Milwaukee. When after I left Dominican and Matthew, my son, was born. This is years ago. And I was coaching at the suburban grade school, and we practiced at 6 o'clock, and at 5:45, the minivans pulled up. The kids got out in their ski jackets from a nice warm car to a nice warm gym, practiced till 7:30. At 7:15, the minivans started pulling up, and the kids got down to practice and got home, and they had a nice meal. And then I took a job in the city because I wanted my son to be comfortable with anybody who wanted to play basketball. And those kids, I was picking the kids up and, you know, having to find jackets for a couple of them. And,
oh, yeah, we've done that.
And I would drive them home and the lights would be off and they'd say, my grandma's not home, which I thought she was going to be home. And I'd take them to my house until the grandma got home. And do you know what? If I ever went back to coach grade school, I would go back and coach there. It was so much harder. But I'll tell you this. These kids loved the fact that they got a chance to play basketball. And in the first school I talked about, if we lost to a team, they never want to see those guys again. The second school, if we lost to a team, they said, coach, find them. What tournament are they in? Bring them here. We'll scrimmage them. We want to play them again. And it was so personal. And it was so like, man, all right, let's get after it. Let's go. But it was much more difficult on my family life. But it meant so much to those kids, much more to the kids that I had in the city than the other school. Maybe it was just school by school, but that was my experience.
Yeah, there are some different challenges. You hear some different things and different stories, and that's part of the territory.
Yeah, it was, and I still sometimes see some kids from the city school, and they're like, man, that was fun back then.
Although I will say this, you know, coaching out in the suburbs too, that there is no utopia. You know, everyone has their set of issues. Everyone deals with different problems. You know, I remember listening. You remember the name Jeff Rutter? He's a West Dallas Hill guy. Now he's coaching college, and he told me that many years ago. There's no utopia. And at that time, you know, he said the coach of Kentucky right now is sitting here in his office complaining about something that isn't good enough for that job, and it's a Kentucky job. You know, one of the greatest jobs. But that's the nature. Like I said, there's every coach, every school has its set of problems that you have to figure out how to deal with.
There's no doubt. And it's funny because back then, and this is years and years and years ago, I didn't know that. I know it now. I know it now, and it's more open in the public now. But there are issues anywhere you are.
Everywhere.
And they're different issues from one school to the other, but they are. Let's get to a break. Other side of the break, Darryl Longley. Man, Bayview's playing well.
They're good.
You think they got a shot?
Yes, I do.
I do, too. Darryl was in. He's impressive. I liked him. Yep. Yeah, he can come in studio anytime. We'll talk to Darryl Longley, head coach at Bayview. They play Washington, and they just got done playing Washington a couple weeks ago, so he knows what he's in for. This is the Wendy's Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Wendy's Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside Ty Mosler, sitting in for David Cooks. A little bit under the weather today. Ty was coming in anyway, but This gave us each a chance to talk a little bit because Cooks gets in. He starts singing. Yeah, and right. I got to show him the numbers because we can show numbers, you know. He starts singing, we'd lose half our audience, man.
The Nielsen ratings?
Yeah, they're gone. They're just gone when he starts singing. I don't know if I can find those for him, but I'll give it a shot. Division Two's tough, man.
Yes, it is.
You think Division Two's tougher than any of them?
It's right up there. It's a debate. You can make a case.
Can make a case. Today at Milwaukee Lutheran, 7 o'clock game. You going to that one?
No, I'm avoiding that one.
Are you?
Yeah, the crowd, man. I'm going to the Brown Deer game with BA and Wapan, and that will go have dinner with my family.
If you want directions to Evansville, let me know.
I already got
them.
I know where that is.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. 7 o'clock tonight, Milwaukee, Washington against Milwaukee Bayview. We are now joined by the head basketball coach at Bayview. He was in studio a few weeks ago. Big fan of his. He's one of the young guns doing a really good job. Daryl Longley, how you been, Coach?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Nice win against Pewaukee. Sets yourself up for a rematch against Milwaukee, Washington.
Thank you.
How you feeling today?
I'm feeling well. Feeling set.
Really? Man, yeah. You and I are exact opposite, Coach, because I barely slept last night, and I'm nervous as they get.
Oh, I didn't sleep much, but I'm feeling good.
Hey, what did you guys learn from playing Milwaukee, Washington a few weeks ago?
We know we can beat them. We feel like we can play with those guys. We made a lot of mistakes. The guys are ready. They know exactly what they need to do. So we know we got a shot.
Ty, you've played against both teams, right?
Unfortunately, I have, yes.
Yeah, how'd you do?
Here I am.
I'm
not on the other side
you're
of the
not, You're
the
not
microphone.
On the other side. You agree with Daryl that Bayview's got a shot.
Absolutely. I said this a while back, that why Bayview has a shot. You know, a lot of teams in our conference didn't have a shot. I thought there was two of them. Bayview was one of them, and I thought Madison was the other. I know Vincent got them when Washington was sitting some kids for whatever reason, but Bayview has the length to match up with Washington, which a lot of teams don't have. They have a couple 6'6 kids that are long. They got a 6'4, 6'5 kid that will wear you out on the glass, and they can defend multiple positions. And, you're probably not completely shutting down a Michael Foster, or Deontay Long, or the Trey White kid, but they have the length and the size to neutralize them and not let them go off. Plus, then Bayview's guards, he's got three good guards that are quick with the basketball and can handle the ball, that if Washington takes their guards to go pressure, Bayview's got kids that can handle that pressure and still get the ball from point A to point B without turning it over. So I don't think it's a layup that, you know, Washington's favorite. I understand that. But I don't think it's quite a layup that Washington is just going to win this game.
Look, from the first – from when some players came into Nicolet, when that happened
– What?
When that happened, you know what? All of a sudden, on social media, a lot of people talk about the Washington-Nicolet matchup, And I'm telling you, people are still talking about that. Who are you going to root for when it's Washington-Nicolet? And I'm like, I'm not rooting for anybody until that game gets here, because there may be some other teams down the stretch that might have something to do with it. And Bayview's
one of them. Absolutely. So, Darryl, what do you guys got going today now? Here you are sitting in the 7 o'clock games on Saturday are the worst because you're sitting around all day long. So what do you guys got going on here, Daryl, for your kids today?
Me personally, I got about 7. I went over to the school. I worked out. So I'm feeling good. Just had breakfast with my brother. All the boys are meeting me at school around 2 o'clock. I'm going to go a little walkthrough, a little more game planning from last night. And I'll just get some shots up, relax, and have a little lunch, and then head over to the gym.
Yeah, that's a nice quick drive for you to Milwaukee Lutheran.
It's not bad, yeah.
Yeah, not bad. Thank you, WIA. It's an hour and a half drive. Am I complaining too much about this?
I haven't noticed.
Yeah, I feel like I'm complaining too much. Similar to what we're doing, Daryl, we're meeting around 2:15, and we'll get some film work done, get some shots up, get some food, and get on the bus.
Hey, are you guys 100% healthy at this point, Daryl? You got everybody that you need to have?
Yeah, we're good. We're healthy. The kids are locked in. If you got another 6'6 kid, got me, I can grab him for you if you need it.
Transfers in time and you can get to the WI to do an appeal, you might be able to get a kid on a 10-day contract.
And
we'll give you the Sean Ford kid.
He's asking you for a 6'6 kid?
Yeah, right. Right.
He's
a 6'4 kid.
Yeah, I mean, and we and you say he's 6'6 just because you've never had a 6'6
kid. He's not.
Yeah, you're asking the wrong guy for a 6'6 kid. South Division doesn't get much size, I'll tell you that. Hey,
Sean over there. Sean's a nice size kid. I like him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if you wanted a kid to help the Grade Point, Jerome Mabry would be your kid. My goodness. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to that last segment, but
I did, yeah.
How impressive is that kid?
Yeah. Good kid.
Man, that's good. Hey, Coach, good luck today. And again, you know, a lot of people are looking past any of the games between now and the state final. And you know what? It's time for you guys to make that statement. This would be a good statement win for you.
Yeah, that's the plan. So we're here.
Excellent. That's
again, and the thing for Bayview, they're not 21-2 by accident. And it's not like they went out and played a soft schedule and just loaded up on, you know, a bunch of bad teams. They've beaten good teams.
Right.
You know, and they're run through the playoffs. You know, beating Pewaukee on a neutral court, that's a difficult game.
Yes.
You know, last year, the same Washington team went down to the wire with Pewaukee. I mean,
yeah.
Like, the games that Bayview's been winning have been tough games. So they're ready. They're good.
Hey, Daryl, last question is your mom cooking for your pregame meal or what?
She's not. She has an event this morning, so we couldn't get her off the hook. She's locked in with another event.
Yeah, you know what the event is? She's cooking for the Martin Luther boys. We hired her.
You got her? I knew you was on it.
Yeah, we're on it. He's Daryl Longley, head basketball coach at Bayview. Good luck. Again, 7 o'clock tonight at Milwaukee Lutheran.
Appreciate it, guys.
You bet. Thanks, Coach. One of the young guns in the city conference. You like him.
Yeah, he's doing a good job. He's got a team that has a little bit of everything, some length, some size, some guards that are quick, some guys that can shoot them. They have some things in place that make them difficult to defend. They go to battle for Daryl. And, I completely understand why everyone says, hey, Washington's a favorite, you know, and you got three high majors on your team. And the truth of the matter is Bayview doesn't have three high majors. They got good players, and they have kids that are going to play scholarship basketball at some level. So I understand Washington being favored,
yeah.
But I don't think that Washington just shows up and wins by 20.
How much has the addition of this guard that moved in from Texas?
Oh, the free agent signing?
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason why Kansas and LSU and whoever else has offered him. He's really good. And Washington was really good before they had him.
Yeah.
You know, that puts another difficult matchup on the court when you have a 6'5 point guard. And they had – Washington had depth prior to this, and when you add a really good player, you know, I'm not a math guy, but that adds a little bit more depth, right?
What does it do to the chemistry of the team?
I find that interesting, right? I mean, kids don't always understand that. It's, oh, man, you're getting this good player. You are, but then it means then one of you is not playing because he is.
Right.
And, you know, Freddie's got to deal with that, and it's the whole Phil Jackson thing, you know, you got all these players that are good.
One basketball.
Right? And how you got to get all of them on the same page and be willing to sacrifice when, sometimes it can be easier to coach when you don't have five kids that all need the ball to be productive. And that's, Washington has really good players.
I'll tell you what, and I've known this a long time, but really learning it here at Martin Luther this year, that it makes such a difference when kids know their role. And they understand their role.
And they accept it. That's the hardest part.
You can tell them their role
all you want, but if they don't accept it, it's not going to work when you toss the ball up Friday night.
Yeah. Let's get you a break. You ready for some predictions?
Absolutely.
Other side of the break, Ty Mosler, because we're going to predict. I won't do much prediction.
I'm already 1-0. I already made my first prediction.
Which was?
Martin Luther by 15. Oh. I might bump it up to 20 next segment.
Oh. You know what? We're just going to get out of this show. We're going to do 15 minutes of commercials. We'll get back to Ty's predictions other than the Martin Luther one. This is the Wendy's Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Wendy's Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show, as always presented by your local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. You know, we asked Daryl what if his mom was going to feed his team, and I said we hired her. We didn't. You know what we do for pregame meals? Did I tell you this? We met with
our
friends.
Have you told me?
Yeah.
So, I've heard.
Yeah. Ty was unbelievable. And I want to thank our friends at Wendy's, Chili's, Perkins, and Fazoli's. We met with those guys before the year started, Coach Wallersheim and I, and said, look, we struggle with this. Do you have some ideas? And they said, not only do we have ideas, we'll take care of you. And gave us a really good price. And every day it's someplace. Today it's Chili's, and looking forward to going down there. And the other night it was Perkins. Before that it was Wendy's. And my guys at Fazoli's been unbelievable. Our players are loving it. It's like a college deal, I think. Mm-hmm. We walk in and they get fed. They get a good meal. That people that understand that part of nutrition, they say, look, you should hear. This would be good for you guys to eat 3 hours beforehand. And we go and do it. And so far, so good. So I want to thank them a lot. They've been a great partner of ours in this. And Sheila Mickey and her group, I can't say thank you enough. It's been a really, really good partnership. So
good to hear.
Yeah, other coaches I would highly recommend. You know what, before your season next year, if you're doing baseball or football, I would get a hold of those guys and say, can we come in the way McGivern and Wallersheim came in and sit and talk to you guys about it? And they'll spend the time. They'll tell you exactly what we did, and so far, so good. So we haven't eaten with them twice this year. Played Brook Central and Brook East. Yeah.
Probably had a lot to do with the food and not.
That's what I think. It certainly wasn't the coaching.
Nope. Wasn't either Brookfield School either.
No, because they don't run good stuff at Brook Easter. Man, Rux is good, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Hey, were you surprised Kimberly got beat? A little bit?
A little bit. I mean, Nina got him once earlier in the year, and Nina's got a really good score. So that Fox Valley Conference, there's not sometimes a big difference from first place to fifth place.
Right.
Teams up, again, we were talking earlier about the Greater Metro being the best conference. Fox Valley's probably number two.
Yes, I think so. And you're right. Between one and five, a lot
six,
of times,
seven, nine,
not a
know,
ton.
No,
they all run good stuff and they're tough kids.
Yep.
And let's get some predictions from your Sussex Hamilton and Brookfield Central.
Sorry, Dan. Sussex Hamilton. I would say that having a Baldwin is a difference maker.
Sun Prairie Madison La Follette.
For Booz's sake, because of all the crap he dealt with this past year, I hope that they win. And they're still good. Obviously, if they're playing at this point, I'm curious to see how they handle Madison La Follette's speed.
Right,
they're extremely quick. I want Sun Prairie to win, but I'm going to go with La Follette's guards.
I'm going to go with Prairie. I saw them up in La Crosse.
Midwest.
They played before we did, and I was impressed with the way they played.
Yeah, Booz does a good job.
Jeff Booz is good. Yep. And it was good to see him. Do you know, he used to bring his son Michael, mm-hmm. who's a year younger than my son Matthew, down for AAU tournaments that I used to kind of like have our teams do, and we'd get some things going on at Dominican. And I'd call him to come on the show. He won't come on.
No.
I see him up there, and I go during warm-ups, and I stand right behind their bench, and I just look at him. And he turns, he goes, oh, hey, buddy. I go, no, don't you hey, buddy, me. Mm-hmm. You got to be kidding me. His son Michael's on his staff now. He's laughing. He goes, you call me, I'll come on your show. But Booz is good.
Yes,
and
he
you're
is.
Right. The kind of stuff that he went through.
He's very deserving of this.
I hope they win. I do. Waukesha West, West Dallas Central.
I'm taking WAC. I said them back in January. I'm going to stay with it. It's a close game. West is obviously very good, but
yeah,
going to go with WAC.
They are really good. There's no doubt about that. La Crosse Central and Merrill.
Central. They've been there.
Yeah.
They
got some horses,
and
don't
that's
they?
That's another one. Everyone, what Washington Nicolet state final.
Hold on.
Central's got something to say about that. You got three D1 athletes that you can throw out there, maybe four.
You know, and I saw them against Brookfield Central, and they did not. Brook Central made them not look all that
right.
good.
And that's a 3-hour bus ride for just one game. You
right.
know.
That's hard.
Yes.
That's
high school
hard.
Kids. Yes.
Kekana and Nicolet.
It's another one. It's a layup, Nicolet. And here's the thing. Nicolet hasn't been involved in too many close games other than over out east
right.
in December when it didn't really matter if you won or lost. Not really. Well, here's the game that matters. And that guy on the sideline for Kekana can coach a little bit.
A little bit.
And
yeah,
he's got
he's
guards
good.
That can handle it, that can play multiple tempos and not turn the ball over against Nicolet's press. And then Nicolet hasn't been in this situation before. Kekana kids have. They're in it every year. Now, again, Nicolet is the better team and probably wins, but when somebody texts me today and says, hey, Kekana won, I'm not going to be shocked whatsoever.
do you think that people, just high school basketball people, are rooting against Nicolay?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, I do too. Do you know when those kids transferred, I got four emails, two text messages, and a handwritten letter that said, look, you highlight, promote, and celebrate high school athletics. And I don't think, and it was all written differently, but all had the same theme, which was, if you highlight, promote, and celebrate what's going on at Nicolay right now, I don't think I'll be able to listen to your show anymore.
Fair.
And I saw Coach Hansen, I saw Allen at Brooks Central. I said, I don't think I can have you in. And he's like, what? I said, here's
lightning
going
rod
on
right now. They're a lightning rod. A
lot
right
of pressure on you right now.
Yes, there is.
A lot of pressure.
And I find this fascinating. I've talked about this with our coaching staff. Let's say Nicolay and Washington do get to the state final, which could very well happen.
Yeah.
What happens in that Cole field house that night? Like, what's the crowd going to be? Because a lot of people don't like those two situations.
Correct.
Because of how the rosters are made up. But yet, everybody wants to see the best play the best, and they both have the best.
You bet.
So, who shows up? How many people show up? You know, because again, reality is, you know, Washington's a city school, and city schools don't get big followings, but people want to see the best players, which those two have.
Right.
Is it packed but quiet? Are people booing, or do people not show up?
Wow.
I think it's fascinating.
It's really fascinating. We got to get through a couple of these pretty quickly. Mount Herb and Elkhorn.
Mount Herb.
Washington and Bayview.
Washington.
Northwestern and Wisconsin Dells.
The Dells.
Yeah, I think so too. Freedom in Denmark.
John Myron, Freedom all the way.
You think the Irish?
Yes. John Myron knows what he's doing.
Waupun and Brookfield Academy.
I would think Waupun, you know, the coach's son for Waupun.
Domas. Yep.
Makes a difference with his ability to do things inside and out.
He's really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good. We're going to stop there.
Martin Luther by 20.
Really?
Yeah, maybe. What?
How'd that happen? We went to a break and you were at like 12 or something.
I crunched some numbers over here. Oshkosh Lords over Marathon.
You like it, Lords?
You Oshkosh do? West guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Roncalli Science, that should be a good game.
That should be a really good game. Yeah.
Science has got some dudes. You want to talk about putting together a roster? Science has got some guys.
And didn't they just get a new one or something?
He wasn't in uniform Wednesday night when they played by us.
He wasn't?
No. Well, who knows, man? But there could be someone else today. I don't know.
Hey, I like Sheboygan Area Lutheran against Rio in Division 5.
I agree.
And I like Banger over Southwestern in Division 5. The point guard from Southwestern turned his ankle.
Mark Miller didn't call to tell you that, did he?
He didn't. He turned his ankle middle of the second half last game, and he's questionable.
Lingering from the football season.
Questionable. You know I'm just kidding with that, right?
Yes, I know.
Yeah, good, because, you know, when Chuck Freeman used to ask me, I'd say, just talk to me about football teams around here. And he'd say, what do you think of that quarterback at Banger? And I'd say, you know what? His left tackle is out, so I'm a little worried about his health tonight. And he'd go, you're kidding,
come
right?
On, what are you talking about?
Yeah, why are you doing that?
Hey,
Ty, thank
D5,
you.
D5, Sheboygan Lutheran, Green Bay, New Lutheran. You Lutheran guys, man, that could be a big one in the state final right there.
It is. I'm a Baptist guy. Coach at Lutheran school, though.
And went to Mesmer.
But yeah, Brookside, I got it all covered. Shalom, everybody. How about that?
Shalom, my
brother. You got it. Thank you. It's good. Ty, thank you.
Oh, yeah,
it's good
anytime.
To see you. This is the Wendy's Varsity Blitz High School Basketball Coaches Show presented by our local Pick and Save stores on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.